I had a thought today. I don't know. I honestly don't know exactly the answer. I wonder what you think. We say LeDavid Hashem, and we, at least at the beginning of El, we have to think a little bit what we are saying, no? At least at the beginning of it. So, why do we say LeDavid Hashem during El? Because it's why do we say LeDavid Hashem? Because it's Chazal teach us LeDavid Hashem is always is my light, Vish in my what's salvation. My salvation. Mimiro, from whom shall I be? From whom shall I fear? Hashem is Mois Chai. Hashem is protecting us, looking after us. Mimiyefchot, why should I be scared? And Chazal teach us that what is he referring to? Oiri, he's referring to my light. Is referring to Rosh Hashanah. V'ishi, my salvation. Is referring to Sukkot. And since this, since Chazal is explaining that it's referring to Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, therefore we read it for the entire Elo from Rosh Chodesh all the way till Sukkot. Now the question is, I mean, I don't know how, I'm embarrassed to admit, but the truth, I only started thinking today a little bit about the why is it that Oiri is referring to Rosh Hashanah? Why is Oiri my light referring to Rosh Hashanah? That's Chazal teaches, and that's the reason why we say LeDavid Hashem throughout Elul. So my light, why is Rosh Hashanah my light? Yishi, my salvation being Sukkot. Okay, perhaps I can hear that because that's maybe Poshup Shat, because the final din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that takes place on Sukkot after Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So it's comes Sukkot, the final we know is on. So perhaps the salvation being Sukkot. But Oiri, my light, why is Oiri my light? Why is my light, why is that referring to Rosh Hashanah? Why? Any suggestions? So, any thoughts? My light, Rosh Hashanah? So I don't know. The only thing I can think of is I don't know. That's not Poshup Shat. That's not a simple understanding. That's the only... Mr. Blin, don't let us down. Don't let us down. You have to... what's the answer? I don't know what's Poshup
Shat. So,
yes. 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 We generally find... I want to suggest something. Maybe that's a bit what you. I want to suggest that Rosh Hashanah is a time. El is a time that we. You see, what does light normally? What does light actually do? What light clarifies matters. That's the purpose of light. Light brings clarity and clarifies. And I think that Rosh Hashanah, more than anything else, of course, there's an element of din. There's an element of judgment. There's an element of there's all that, obviously. But in order to achieve that, a person needs to have clarity in himself a little bit. A person needs to think about himself a little bit. What has he achieved during the year? Where is he up to? Where is he holding? What has he achieved? What has he not achieved? What does he want to achieve? And it's about introspection. That's the word. Thank you. To think about a person's purpose in life and his world. And that's it requires a huge amount of light. It's a clarification of a person's own mahus, a person's being. Elul is a time that we are searching for light in ourselves. We want to clarify where are we holding. Have we progressed a little bit over the year? Have we not? Have we done what we meant to do? Our duties. And that is represented in David Hashem Oyri Veyishi, because Hashanah is meant to precede that light within us. Perhaps that could be a pshat, but that's not Poshup Pshat. But we've got to figure out what the Poshup Pshat is. But perhaps there might be an added understanding in this in this Chazal. All right, okay. We are in Siman Tov Tesvav. What a second line. We discussed the concept yesterday that a Eruv Techomim can only be arranged if it is for a mitzvah purpose. And we discussed that what is exactly a mitzvah purpose? And various examples were given. We're going to continue now with Eruv Tchumim, not only before mitzvah purpose, but this could be another reason as well why, in what circumstances, an Eruv Tchumim can be arranged. And that is, second line, that last word of the second line on page 558. Oy, or mipnei ha'iro, because of fear. So you could do it for mitzvah purpose or because of fear. What does that mean? That's the third line now from the top. Because there was goyim, or there were other dangerous people that were chasing him. Or because of robbers and dangerous, potentially not life-threatening, but generally people that you want to just escape those people. V'chiyotze pasen similar. V'ozmuta lo ileilech, afilu l'dvar reshus. And in such an instance, you could even go if it's not a mitzvah purpose. So, to save one's skin, to save one's money, to save one's possessions, save one's... You're allowed to do an Erev Chuppah. So we're not talking about life-threatening. Life-threatening, you're allowed to do anything. It's beyond... It's
happening on Shabbos. You can't make the Erev Chuppah.
No, so you know on Friday. It's a good question. Yeah, it's a good question. I was bothered by that as well. So the meaning is, the understanding of this is, that we're talking about a situation that it's not... You're worried about certain people. There's a gang in town. They're not here. Now they're more in Tottenham today, yeah? But what you're hearing on Friday, that there might be... Do you know when there was riots a few years ago?
Yeah.
So imagine that kind of... Edgeway's calm, Edgeway's fine. You know, he's always like 2 days late, everything, you know? So you want to... Yeah, but you heard the other side of... But just in case, you know, if they are really coming, you want to be in Bournemouth for Shabbos. So therefore, you're before Shabbos, you're placing, yeah. Yeah, that would be the case. And then even if it's not mitzvah purpose, but the yira, the fear itself, would justify and warrant the establishing of an eruv tchumim. Now the Mishnah Berurah discusses the shaila: what happens if a person wants to do for a social gathering? Say you hear that there's a class. From primary, you want to get together, like, what's it called? Class reunion year, there's a class reunion taking place, and it's on Shabbos. You don't want to spend the whole Shabbos with them, because it's not run the way, but you want to just pop in. But it is outside of the Tchum. It's taking place in, and the class reunion is in, Radlett. Okay, it's in Radlett. And you want to now know if you can go there for that social gathering or not. So which category would it fit? Would it fit into a category of Mitnayiro? Fear? No. Okay, is it Shabbos, but you fit in that. Okay, so that's the enjoyment, the Oinik Shabbos element, yeah? The Simcha, yeah? Do you agree to that? Shabbos Achim. Now, there's a Mishnah Berurah over here, very sharp for Mishnah Berurah, and that's one of the Mishnah Berurahs that we find. It's nearly it's a bit Musa, a bit Hashkof over here. Mishnah Berurah is not pure halacha, it's a little bit beyond that. In some place, Mishnah Berurah shares a bit of his general Hashkafic outlook. And that's what we're seeing over here in this Mishnah Berurah Sif Cotton Hay, which is the Mishnah Berurah which addresses the Shabbos Shpatzir. That's the one. So it's about 5-6 lines from the wide lines. Mishnah Berurah, he says as follows: "Bepardes sheish b'simcha miu." However, poshut, it is self understood. The ma'ira b'simcha shel heta, only if it is an enjoyment of permitted gathering, this would be fine. Avol, but lefi mashematzu b'avoniseinu rabim, that we find due to our great sins, peizim mekoymos in some places, ba'yores gedolos in large cities, she'oiskin sham beholulus, that people they gather and they just do jokes. And they gather the social gatherings, which is mixed events. For that kind of event, you certainly may not make an eruv. Because this is an avera, a sin, a mitzvah, not mitzvah. And the Torah giants have already protested against it. And if it's a gathering, which is a mixed gathering, then a person should guard himself and not going and not joining. This is how David HaMelech said it in the beginning of Sefer Tehillim. Hashem ish, praiseworthy is the man who doesn't go to places of Hashem, of evildoers. So
let's say you had a kid rattler, but you know it's going to be mixed.
Ah, that's a good question. Oh, okay. Okay, gentlemen, what's the halacha of a mixed kiddush in Radlett? Can you make a tchum, an erev tchum to join the simcha? No, not Radlett, huh? Not Radlett. I don't know. What do you think? Because he said a mixed event is an avera, and you may not make it.
So that, going by that, it's a mixed event, technically social, you could argue, because the kid is after davening. So by that logic,
okay, so that's an interesting thought. You're saying that, probably talking about dancing, or
did you read that yesterday?
Yesterday we spoke about dancing. Yeah,
yeah, or, yeah, or, yeah. Or,
Yeah. But here he seems to be going a step further than that. He says that it appears that any mixed, a mixed event is not considered, it's considered Va'avera. Hara Feingold, what do you tie in her? Kiddush in Radlet.
Yeah, so it says over here, you need the holiness aspect as well.
So how do you translate holiness? Light-headedness, yeah. Yeah. So if there's a light-headed, if there's the attitude is a bit more, modulating. That's okay. I understand that. So Moshe does say the word, which might be a key word, holilus, which means lightheadedness. So it depends a bit on the atmosphere. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. If it's mixed and it's still got a certain dignity, a certain level of tzniyus, then he'll probably might be okay. It might not be what the Mishnah is referring to. Mishnah is saying the word holilus, which means. Do you know the Yiddish word prost? It's got a certain low. If it's a bit too chilled out. If it's too chilled out, that's it. Then that would be considered an advar avera. Yeah, but it's an interesting Mishnah Berurah, and it does shed light a little bit on Mishnah Berurah's the Chofetz Chaim, how he looked at mixed events. It gives us a great creative understanding of that. Siv Beis, Ein Ma'arvin Eruv Tchomim Ben Hashmoshes. Going away from this topic and moving on to the timing of the Eruv Tchomim, the Shulchan Aruch teaches us that Ein Ma'arvin Eruv Tchomim, you may not make an Eruv Tchomim Ben Hashmoshes during the twilight period of Ben Hashmoshes. We know that there is Shkia, Ben Hashmoshes, and then nightfall. And that period between Shkia and nightfall, that's called Ben Hashmoshes. During that time, it's too late. You're not meant to do the Eruv Tchumim in that time of day. However, if you did do it then, when is Shkia this week? 7:40. Yeah, so that for that Ben Hashmoshes until Nacht, that is, you're not meant to make an Eruv Tchumim. If you did, however, make an Eruv at that time, your Eruv is a valid Eruv. Siv Gimel. Siv Gimel teaches us as follows. Omuloi Shnaim. That's an interesting case. Two people, Omuloi Shnaim. Sei V'arev Aleinu. Two people asked a gentleman, and he said, can you please make an Eruv for us? We said, that works, right? You can make an Eruv for somebody else, right? If somebody asks you to make an Eruv, you can place an Eruv on somebody. Now, not just one person asked you, but two people actually approached you and said, do you mind, you're anyway going up there, do you mind to put an Eruv? Two gentlemen asked you, Tzei v'arev aleinu, can you please make an Eruv for us? Echot, Eruv olav mi bo'yoyim, ve'echot Eruv olav ben hashmoshes. The problem is that you were rather busy, and you didn't do both before ben hashmoshes. You did but one of them before Ben Hashmoshes, you did one of them before Shkia, and one of them you did after Shkia. You were too rushed. So you placed both Eruv in the right places, but one of them was before Shkia, one of them was after. Zeh she'eruv olav miboyd yoyim, nechal eruv oi Ben Hashmoshes. Zeh she'eruv olav Ben Hashmoshes, nechal eruv meshech ha'sheicho. Shneem konu eruv v'yesh chalukim. The case of here is, as the Mishnah Berurah explains, I'm just going to go through this inside. The Mishnah Berurah says, no, it doesn't say it here. It says that the case is that you put two eruv tchomim. One you placed before Ben Hashmoshes, one of them you placed later. Unfortunately, it was quite a mishap that happened. Both of those eruvim were actually eaten up. They were wasted. They were burnt. They got destroyed. There was a massive rain. And the one that you put before Shkia got ruined after the Shkia. The one that you placed during Ben Hashmoshes after Shkia, that got ruined or spoiled after Nacht. Now the Shulchan Aruch teaches, Shneim Konu Eruv, both Eruvs are valid, despite the fact that it got destroyed. The one that you placed before Shkia got destroyed after Shkia. The one that you put during Shkia, during Ben Hashmoshes, that one got destroyed after Nacht. Nevertheless, both of them are fine. Ve'eshcholkim, and some disagree. Okay, Siv Dalet, Kshemaniach Eruv Techomim Mevorech Al Mitzvahs Eruv. Now the bracha. Do you make a bracha when you place an Eruv Techomim? Do you make a bracha? The answer is you do make a bracha. What's the bracha that you say? A very generic bracha. Kshemaniach Erev Techomim, top line of the page. Kshemaniach Erev Techomim, Vorech, you make a bracha al mitzvas Erev. You make the bracha of al mitzvas Erev. Ve'oima, and he adds the following word, which are quite similar to the, well, what, let's see in a minute. Ve'oima bazeho Erev, with this Erev, yemutali, it shall be permitted for me, leileich, to go, me'o complaining from this place, halpaim amo, 2,000 amo, lecholruach, into every direction. And if he makes an Erev for many people, Oimer he says, Yemut leploini veleploini. This individual and that individual shall be able to walk 2,000 amos from here. Oi, or Livnei Mokom Ploini can say that all the inhabitants of this city, all these residents, can walk 2,000 amos from this place. What happens if a person didn't make a bracha? If he failed to make a bracha? He just didn't say a bracha. Is the Erev valid, yes or no? It works? Yes. Why? Yeah, like any bracha. Mishneh Berurah says, indeed, as you're saying in Seif Kotten, you dalet, al mitzvah, ve'im loy beirach, if you didn't make a bracha, enoy me'akev, it doesn't matter. There is an interesting question here about the wording of the bracha. What's the wording of the bracha? Boruch ato Hashem lekei melech olam. And then what do we say? What do we say? Asher kidushanu mitzvah v'tzivonu. What does v'tzivonu mean? One second. What does it literally mean, v'tzivonu? The literal translation of v'tzivonu? Commanded. Hashem has commanded us. Which normally means, yes, you're right, but leaving out this question now. Hashem has commanded us. One second here. I understand when you shake dalet minim, yeah, I understand that's a commandment. You've got to do it. When we eat matzah, you've got to eat matzah. Never mind your question, which is a valid question about being the Rabbanon, but never mind that. Is the commandment to make an Eruv? Is a commandment? You have to make an Eruv.
No, it's voluntary.
It's voluntary. So how can you say Vetzivon? You've commanded us. Pardon? If you want to walk, you mean? If you want to walk, but that's very voluntary. It's voluntary. Interesting, because Mishavut doesn't say exactly what you're saying. But let's see. Do you hear the question? That commanded, it's not a commandment, it's not instruction. We don't have to. Mishavut is a bit different. I hear what you're saying, but
if you want to have an apple, you make a bracha before it's
voluntary. You don't say Vetzivonu there. You don't say Vetzivonu. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Kotten Yud Gimel, third line. Afal Gavan, although Sheim Lo Yirtze Leile Chutz LaAlpaim. If you do not wish to go more than 2,000 Amos, Ein Tzorich Eruv. You do not require an Eruv. You don't need an Eruv, so it's not Vetzivon. It's not Mitzvah. Mikol Mokum. Nevertheless, Shaych Loim Vetzivonu. You can't say Vetzivonu. Why can you say Vetzivonu? Sheloy Leilech Bli Eruv. You can't say. Not to walk without an Eruv. Kenyan, as we find, Shchita, by Shchita, Shem Vorei Choleo, you find by Shchita also you can make a bracha. Do you know Shechel makes a bracha? If you make a Shchita, you make a bracha. Afagav, She'elim Mechuv Lechot Boso. Because, you know, although you're not obligated to eat meat, but if you Shecht, you have to make a bracha. So, what the Mishnah Berurah's words seem to be, I don't know how you learn it, but the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying that the reason why I can say Vetzivonu, Sheloy Leilech Beli Eruv, not to walk without an Eruv. You're not allowed to walk without an Eruv. And therefore it's an instruction, because you mustn't. It is an instruction. You mustn't walk more than 2,000 amos without an Eruv. So therefore that's why you can say Vetzivonu, because it is a negative instruction. You may not walk beyond 2,000 numbers without an Eruv. So it is an instruction.
It doesn't say that.
Yeah, good question. I don't know the answer to your very good question. Yeah, so what's Vetzivonu? There's an element of that instruction, there's an element of that mitzvah that is negative, and that's you may not walk more than 2,000 numbers without an Eruv.
No, it doesn't say that in Eruv,
does it? No, it's only rabbinical. It's only rabbinical. Yeah. What did you say? You said a bit different, Knatch. You said a bit different. What did you say? That? Yeah, that's interesting. That's in a way, that's a better teretz, because that's, if you are in that situation, then it is Vetzivonu. The Mishnah Berurah's knach is a bit different. The Mishnah Berurah's words are a bit different. The Mishnah Berurah says that if there's always an instruction that you may not walk more than 2,000. Not lechshatim tzeloima. Not if you need to. But it's very specific. You may never walk more than 2,000. So that's an interesting question. How does the word of a tzivon fit into a potential mitzvah? Like bashchita. Yeah, okay. Just to recap what we covered this evening. So we learned about the Eruv can only be, I don't know if it's a mitzvah, if it's for, or for fear, such as if there is dangerous people around, you make an Eruv Techumim. We spoke, we defined this mitzvah a little bit, and we said if it's a mixed event, it's a bit questionable. We learned about if a person makes an Eruv Techumim for a shus, for voluntary purpose, that's still, you shouldn't do it, but nevertheless, if you did do an Eruv for a shus, it's still chal, it's still valid. And then we learned the words that you say is from this particular place, and you, of course, you say the bracha. We discussed that if a person doesn't make a bracha, it's still valid, and we discussed the question of why is it that you can say v'tzivonu, although it's not really a mitzvah, and we said Mishnah Berurah says an answer to that. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, I wish you a very good Shabbos, and we shall be continuing with Shem next week. So I hope that hopefully Sunday will be, maybe Sunday or maybe a Sunday we'll be learning Tzim Tov Tezayin, perhaps Monday too, but certainly on Tuesday we'll be starting L'Chodesh Hashem. Okay, good evening.